And welcome to After Hours, Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. Jackson, you enjoying that heat outside? I know it's summertime. It's going to be hot. It's mid-August. It's going to be hot.
I'm not enjoying it, Bink.
It's real hot, though.
I'm not really enjoying it, but it is what it is.
Then you get the taste of a few nice days, you know, and like, this is great. You're like, just to remind people, like, hey, man, we're in the middle of summer. It's going to be hotter now. Not only that, there could be some really hot days in September as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's some really hot Chiefs games in September.
Oh, yes, there are.
So you expect that.
You do.
I mean, it's going to be like 95, 96, 97 degrees. Next 5 days is going to be hotter than now.
I'm a cold weather guy, not a warm weather guy.
I like cold weather, too, but you get that taste full. You know, we talked about it last night. All the Oktoberfest blends out at the store. You get all the kids going back to school. And you start getting that feeling. We at college or college football starting next weekend. There's top 25 high school football games going on across the country, including that one in Buford High School in Georgia, this huge state-of-the-art facility. It's unreal. But you get high school football starting in Missouri here soon, then Kansas. Life's good, man. Football's back.
Yeah, we're finally there. About time.
Yeah, we are finally there. And you know what? This is going to be, once again, a night where Chiefs haters get mad.
There's been a lot of those in the last 7 years.
Well, yeah, there is. And this will be a night that they continue to cry and whine about the Chiefs getting all the attention. And we talked about it last night. They had these billboards, you know, up in Buffalo and other cities. ESPN did, like, would say, like 969 miles, the Chiefs Kingdom. Because Chiefs Kingdom's on tonight. And it isn't buried on, you know, some odd channel or something. It's ESPN at 8 o'clock. People be glued to the TVs. I mean, people in Kansas City have had something to watch that interests them as of late. And Chiefs Kingdom tonight, 2 episodes. You get the first episode at 8, then you get the second episode at 9, and that one really features Andy Reid. The first one's kind of a history of football. I think people are really going to enjoy it. It was just well put together. The Chiefs had that camera crew there kind of behind the scenes. Andy Reid's never been really big on that, but they kept remarking about how they kind of stayed behind the scenes, didn't really notice them. But, there's the reminder, you know, of the Eagles Super Bowl loss. And obviously that's going to be spotlighted front and center. Oh, my God, because, you know, the hot takes, and we'll get to them, because I have something that will make you mad as well, like I do like to do every night, where they say nationally it'll make you mad. I did have some positivity, though, with the Tom Brady stuff, at least.
Right? We did have that. And by the way, you informed me of this, that if you want to listen to our entire show tonight, that the episodes will re-air tonight on ESPN2 at 11.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was telling you, because obviously we're going to be doing the show, unless you you remember the day and age of recording something on a DVR and stuff? That was so easy. Like, I guess they still have it.
You still can.
I don't really use it because everything's streamable now anyway.
Right.
Like ESPN Plus, I'll have all of the episodes, you know, tonight or together. Once the first one's out, you know, you can binge them and watch all 6 of them. And then the 19th and 20th, will be 2 on the 19th, 2 on the 20th. But regardless, you want to watch it live, it'll be on not ESPN The Deuce, not ESPN The Ocho, but ESPN right there at 8 o'clock and then 9 o'clock for your Chiefs taste. If you get tired of watching Hard Knocks and the Buffalo Bills and all that, well, guess what? This is ESPN. And it's Kansas City Chiefs. It's about the Chiefs Kingdom. So all those people getting mad about the Chiefs, well, it's going to start again. It's going to start again because they're front and center. Although, you know, kind of a history of the American Football League, the American Football Conference, and Lamar Hunt's role in that. Then, of course, Andy Reid and his time in Philadelphia, how he got his coaching acumen and stuff like that. It's great stuff. For Chiefs fans, I'm not kidding. This is going to be must-watch. And then, as I was telling Jackson here, it'll be on again on ESPN2. Like, if you miss this, because clearly you're going to miss it, and so am I, as far as that's concerned, on ESPN. But it's on The Deuce at 11 o'clock and then 12 o'clock, so you can catch the 2 episodes. I don't know if you're wide awake at that time of night. I mean, no, I am, because I don't eat till after this show, and I'm usually wired as hell on energy drinks or whatever, so I'm good to go for a little while afterwards, so I'll be watching that again tonight.
Yeah, I'll definitely be up watching it. Definitely a night owl. And, you know, I don't know if I will be as I get older. I'm only 24 right now, so night owl.
You're not old, though.
Night owl activities for now, but we'll see in the future. But for now, definitely not a morning bird, not an early bird. Definitely a night owl, so I'll be watching.
Well, as much as you like football and as much as you like the Chiefs, the history of the Chiefs, I mean, all the way back to the Dallas Texans and coming to Kansas City, I think you'll appreciate it. And I do want to talk kind of about the Chiefs history coming up a little bit later on in the show as far as like when you became a Chiefs football fan. And this is for you, text line 913-586-7965, Jay Southland Tow Service text line. And of course, the phone number, the same number, 913-586-7965. Because y'all have that moment of when you became a Chiefs fan. Now, I don't know if it was a particular season, a particular player. Maybe you went to training camp and it was a William Jewell. Maybe you went up and watched it at River Falls with your dad, your grandpa, whoever. Family vacation, you went to River Falls and you watched the Chiefs. And that's when you fell in love with the Chiefs. There was usually a time, and maybe if you're really younger, you know, it was when they got Mahomes. I mean, lucky you.
You know, you didn't have to sit through the bad years. You just got to see Mahomes. That's when you.
Right when they got Alex Smith. I mean, you very young.
The Andy Reid era.
This is his ninth year, but
you know, I will say, Bink, I became an avid diehard football fan around the Matt Castle days. I was about 9, 8 years old.
Yeah.
When I was super, super young, I wasn't into football. I remember I watched the Colts and Saints Super Bowl, that one. And that was what really kind of started getting me into football. And then that year we had Castle and we won the West in 2010 with Bo having that great year. Yeah. I was hooked from then.
Well, hold that thought. We'll talk about that around 6:30 or so. So hold that thought. I'm curious when that moment was. Where were you? What was the moment? What was it that got you hooked? As a Kansas City Chiefs fan, we might as well have a little bit of fun with this. If the Chiefs are going to be spotlighted nationally, you know, across the nation on ESPN about Chiefs Kingdom, you know, just might as well, you know, find out when and where you became a Chiefs fan. Because, you know, here's your team right there on ESPN. You know, they don't need HBO Max and HBO whatever for Hard Knocks. No, it's ESPN, man.
I remember I used to get excited when we'd get Sunday Night Football because I'd be like, oh, my God, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are here. They're in Kansas City.
I remember growing up and you get excited about, oh, geez, Sunday Night Football, man. It's huge.
It's awesome.
Be excited about it all day long.
We're on primetime.
You'd be thinking about it. It's the same Sunday Night Football, primetime. Or back in the day when you got a Thanksgiving game against, like, the Cowboys or something, or even that Detroit game. It's like Kansas City Chiefs going to be spotlighted. Now it's much different, man. Now you're going to be able to watch them on YouTube in Brazil. On game one, you've been used to those Thursday night games. When you win the Super Bowl, you get that Thursday night game. So you've had that standalone game. But as I've said, Jackson, all the Chiefs haters, which there's a lot. I mean,
there's a lot.
And they acknowledge that. And you'll see it in the episode, Chris Jones and stuff, you know, acknowledging the Chiefs haters. And they did, you know, up in training camp. And, you know, Kay Adams was up there interviewing even Andy Reid. What do you think about the noise? I just block out the noise. You got to kind of sometimes block out the noise, what people are saying about you, because they're going to turn on you. It's the way things work. If you're really good at something, they're going to turn on you.
Of course.
Know, the Patriots went through it. You know, people kind of turned on them. I don't think near to this extent, but they do. Johnny Manziel wins the Heisman as a redshirt freshman. Everybody loved Johnny. Then he goes to the pros. People like to see him fail, and they thought it was funny. Tim Tebow was beloved at Florida. He goes to pros, then became a punchline with how he threw the ball in the pros. But that's things. They build you up, and they tear you down. I mean, it's just the way it is. That's the way sports is. You become good enough, people, it's a mix of jealousy in that. It's a mix of jealousy. Why can't this be us?
Of course.
Why can't this be our team? We've had the lean years here, though. We mentioned that. Remember 2012?
Oh,
you had the Javon Belcher incident.
You had the
Castle getting booed incident. We had Inside Edition up here at the station interviewing people about the booing there. It was so bad, your first pick on the clock. I mean, the Chiefs were the worst team in the National Football League. Things were not good until... You know, they stopped Andy Reid from flying to that interview with the Arizona Cardinals, and then it was going to be the Chargers after that or whatever. Have an interview, you go and meet him in Philadelphia, and like, boom, hey, we need to be our head coach. And, yeah, it's the rest is history at that point. Only missed the playoffs one year. That was 2014. And he was 9-7 that year.
Still a winning record.
He was still two games over 500 at that point. But regardless, think about that because I am curious about what you think. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland. Tow service text line and the phone number as well. If you want to call and tell your stories, I can read them whatever you want. But I'm kind of curious when you became a Chiefs fan, because it is pertinent. Because when you watch this tonight, you will, I don't throw any spoilers or anything out there, but when you watch tonight, it'll make you proud, man. It'll make you proud. If you're a Chiefs fan, it'll make you proud of being a Chiefs fan. It'll make you proud of living in this town. It will. It just will. It'll make you proud of being in Kansas City and proud of living here, and your favorite team is spotlighted across the country. So, again, let the haters hate. Brush them off. Just take your hands, brush off the haters, you know, and enjoy the show. enjoy going out to Arrowhead.
I'm looking forward to it.
But we'll start with this, though. Rashee Rice.
Big news here.
Big news. Big news about Rashee Rice. And it's going to be tabled until the 30th of September as far as meeting with the judge, right? And the interesting thing about this is, so it's not, he'll play those games unless they can settle this before. Like if the union gets together with the NFL, they could technically solve this before if they wanted to. But I kind of doubt they do because there's not a real reason to do that at this point. And a lot of people, you know, kind of negative about it. Well, the Chiefs are going to be in limbo now. They don't know what's going to happen to the suspension of Rashee Rice. It's going to be later in the season. It's going to be towards the end. What is going to happen with Rashee Rice? But you have time to wait. September 30th in New York is when he's meeting with the judge, Sue Robinson. And she'll decide then which direction to go, how many games he's going to get. Now, I will say this. The ex-judge meeting with Robinson, a third party, to determine Rashee Rice's suspension, she's done one other case in the NFL for disciplinary action. And that person was the guy that a lot of people wanted instead of Mahomes. It's Deshaun Watson, man. You almost had a Deshaun Watson problem in Kansas City. Well, she got to hear Deshaun Watson's case, and this could be music to your ears. She only gave Deshaun six games. Six games. The NFL said, oh, no, 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 no. And they could appeal it. And again, if she comes out with Rice and says, you know what? Let's just slap Rice with two games or three games or whatever. The NFL can't appeal that decision. Like, they can appeal that decision. Just like the Chiefs can appeal it, Rashee Rice can appeal it, the NFL can appeal it too, which they did with Deshaun Watson. They appealed the judge's verdict on it and got 11 games instead of six. But when I first saw her name, I was like, wait a minute. This was the guy that gave Deshaun Watson like a slap on the wrist. Because six games for that, I mean, that's, so if he got six games, what's Rashee Rice looking at? Like three? You know, you got to think about, you know, with her. But anyway, the news came out with Rashee Rice. Here's Dan Graziano from ESPN.
So, Laura, what usually happens in cases like this is the player with the union and the league will sort of negotiate. The league will say, here's what we have in mind for discipline. And then there'll be a conversation and they might settle on something. In this case, those conversations took place, but they didn't reach an agreement. So what Rashee Rice effectively is saying is, I'd rather go to a hearing. The hearing officer is Sue L. Robinson. She is the independent arbitrator that was agreed to in the last CBA. She's heard one other case since she assumed this role, and it was the Deshaun Watson case in 2022. So my understanding is the hearing scheduled for September 30th because that's when it fit into her schedule. Now, if you look ahead and if you look back, in fact, to 2022, the hearing was at the end of June. Her ruling was issued on August 1st. She imposed a six-game suspension on Deshaun Watson that the league then appealed because they wanted a longer one. And then about 2 weeks later, the league and union settled on an 11-game suspension. So this is the kind of thing now that could hang over the back half of the Chiefs season with uncertainty in terms of when the suspension could start and how long it could be.
So this becomes real interesting because I'll explain it next. We'll talk about it next. We'll explain kind of, you know, the timeline of events here. What the Chiefs should be looking for, what Rashee Rice should be looking for. Nate Taylor did join Cody and Gold today. And, of course, Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated was on with CDOT. So about this event, like how you feel about it, do you wish they would have just got it out of the way? First, you know, six games, just boom, gone? Or would you rather sit there and wait? Personally, I might surprise you on this one. Next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden producing the conversation. Talking to Rashee Rice, what it means for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the hearing scheduled with Sue Robinson on September 30th. Now keep this in mind. It can technically be solved before that. Mark Maskey had tweeted out, he's a writer for the Washington Post, said the NFL and NFLPA still could reach a settlement on a potential suspension in the Rice case before the scheduled September 30th hearing in front of disciplinary officer Sue Robinson, which would make that hearing unnecessary. But do you want to do that? Or maybe you don't want to do that and you want to hear the hearing. This is coming from Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, of course, Chiefs reporter for ESPN.com. And this is what he said about the suspension of Rashee Rice.
This is what Rashee Rice wanted.
Okay.
Is the way I'm reading this. Based on all the conversations I had. And again, I think the players union is trying its best, given their situation.
Yeah, no kidding.
Trying their best to do right by a client where, hey, now the question, you know, okay, we know he's going to be there on September, right? For all the games September. Hey, four games, you know, I think the Chiefs are thrilled with this development. Obviously, this is what Rashee Rice wanted.
Well, if that's the case, here's the thing. September 30th, right? The first game, September 5th, against the Chargers in Brazil. Game two, Philadelphia, the Super Bowl champion, a rematch of that game, Super Bowl 59. All right, it's an important game. The next week, Sunday Night Football at the New York Giants. The game after that, September 28th, Baltimore Ravens at Arrowhead Stadium. Very important game, right? So that's the 28th. Then the hearing would be on the 30th. The next game, if they say, okay, Rashee, you get four games. Again, this is a woman that gave Deshaun Watson just six games, was appealed by the NFL, and it went to 11 games. So whatever she decides, who knows which direction they go. It's a big, big mystery, to be honest with you. But let's say she said four games. Then it would be Jacksonville. The following week would be Detroit at Arrowhead. And then the Raiders and then the Commanders on Monday Night Football. And if that was the case, it was just four games, then he would come back before the Buffalo Bills game. Which, yeah, those missing against Washington and the Raiders and stuff like that, that's a big deal. But the Bills, a little bigger deal, right? I mean, that would be the perfect case scenario if that was going to be happening. And it could. But, again, here was Nate Taylor on that situation.
I think the NFL will have its case ready to go, you would assume, by September 30th.
I hope so.
And if you're the Chiefs, if you're the Chiefs, you're like, hey, I just looked at the calendar, fellas. It's very easy for anybody to do. I just wrote this for ESPN.com alongside Adam Schefter. If everything goes the way the Chiefs want, Rashee Rice will get a four-game suspension, which means he would be eligible to return on November 2nd against the Buffalo Bills right before their bye week. The NFL, if they say it's six games, that means you're going to have to miss all that time, the bye week, the next game, and then you come back in the middle of November, which obviously means you're going to have a little bit less of a run-up to get Rashee Rice ready to go for postseason time, we all assume.
And Nate followed that up with, what's this mean for the Chiefs?
Yes, this is a surprise for a couple reasons. Really quick, Rashee Rice must have some of the greatest lawyers that money can buy. Because normally, and again, we saw what happened. I don't know if you guys mentioned this. We saw what happened with Jordan Addison for the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat similar situation. He's already been suspended. Now, each situation is different. So Rashee has made it clear that he wants to play. He wants to start the season in uniform for the Chiefs. His lawyers have essentially accomplished that. The players' union has essentially accomplished that. And I think the second reason why this is surprising, too, is this comes at this point in the lead up to opening night in Brazil against the Chargers. We have now concluded training camp, and now the Chiefs have 3 weeks to really prepare for what their offense is going to look like with Josh Simmons at left tackle, right? With Kingsley, we presume, at left guard. Now you know you have your full complement of receivers. I don't think we're going to see Hollywood Brown, guys, until the Chiefs are in Brazil. So you have the actual offense on paper potentially being on the field against the Chargers, which has to infuriate their AFC West rival because we know the Chargers have more injuries right now. Obviously, they're not going to have Rashawn Slater, one of their best pass protectors in the game. But for the Chiefs and for Patrick Mahomes specifically, okay, I know I have my revamped offensive line. I have my number one receiver in Rashee Rice. I still got Travis Kelce, who's looked very good in training camp. And now we have everybody in their proper role. Hey, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to be our possession receiver. We know what Xavier Worthy can do on the deep ball. Hey, I might have Tyquan Thornton for a couple snaps just to see if he can win one-on-one based on what he's shown in training camp in the preseason. And then, of course, you know, I still have Jalen Royals, I still have Hollywood Brown and what limited role he'll have on opening night. This gives the Chiefs plenty of time to really be prepared and be ready to go on opening night against the Chargers, because they now know Rashee Rice will be in uniform.
Here's where I came out on it, Jackson. I actually am okay with this. Now, if it lingers on to the 30th and they give like a 6 to 8 games or something, then the Chiefs or Rice would appeal it because they didn't like it. They wanted to be brought down. Then it lingers on to through November. And then all of a sudden you're getting into December. That's, you know, when you want your receiver playing, right? But it's actually okay. When these games this tough at the beginning, because what's happened to the Bengals the last couple of years? They get buried at the beginning of the year. You know, those slow starts, winning one of the first three, two of the first four, they get buried. And all of a sudden, you know, two games are 500 or three games under 500. And all of a sudden, the odds are stacked against you to make it to the postseason, right? But you're playing in Brazil against the Chargers, divisional game. Again, 17-3 against the Chargers in the last 10 years. And then you get the Eagles at home. You want Rice in those games. Because if Hollywood Brown is back for game one, we still don't know 100% what you're going to get from Hollywood Brown. We don't know. We haven't really seen him. I mean, the guy has had an injury history. There's no denying that. He's missed 24 games since 2021. Yes, I know text line 15 of them were last year. But there were still 9 before that. It's still a significant number. And we all know what this team would look like if the receiver room's all playing. Like if Rice is playing and Worthy's playing and Hollywood Brown's playing, it's a pretty good crew right there. Like on paper, the receiver room looks good, but we're not really seeing what's on paper a lot. But get off to that fast start with Rice. And again, if he has to be suspended during the games against the Jags and the Raiders and stuff like that, you can deal with that. You know, get back before Buffalo. That's the perfect storm, in my opinion. I still am in the camp. I think he gets 3 games, 4 max.
I think the tough part here is nothing's guaranteed, right? Let's say nothing you get to the 30th, and like you said, the perfect storm is 3 to 4 games. You're not guaranteed that, though. It could be 6. It could be much more than you're willing to be comfortable with. So I do think there is a part of it where it would have been better just to rip the Band-Aid off before the season, just to know going in, okay, this is how long we're going to be without him, rather than really get him ramped up, get him going back from injury, and then 4 weeks into the season, say, like, okay, now this key piece of your offense is gone for a significant amount of time.
There is that nice theory about having it out of the way because then you plan, but plan would be set anyway. Andy Reid's a big planner for what goes on. But if he knows right now in the game plan, he's got Rashee Rice against the Chargers in Brazil.
Be big.
Like that's huge. So you know you have Rashee Rice in the game plan. You know he's chomping to get back in action. But you start off fast, man, because you need to start off fast. You set that tempo. You send the message, hey, the Chiefs are back. Look at the record now. And not only that, but here's where else it helps. Development of Jalen Royals, right? The 4th-round pick. So you get that development of players. Remember how long it took Worthy? And I know a big difference there because Worthy was a 1st-round pick. But still, as a true rookie, you know, it takes a while. It took Worthy a while. It took, you know, 6 games down the stretch. Now, I know Worthy had 9, ended up with 9 touchdowns on the year. But he was much better towards the end of the year in postseason. Agree with that? I mean, he was much, much better.
Absolutely.
The time and space, the placement, catching the ball on the sidelines, you know, not being totally in, both feet in bounds.
Yeah.
He struggled with that, right? There was things about the NFL you had to learn. But by that time, would he be more serviceable for the Kansas City Chiefs at that point? Because he'd have to step up and be a part of it. Or, you know, developing Tyquan, you know, you have him in the offense. And you see what direction they're going. I'm still in the camp. I wish the Chiefs would have got Keenan Allen.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Because you know what's going to happen. You know, the Chargers did get him.
That has to hurt. I know that had to hurt.
It's a twofold thing. So, one, he'd be here. And two, and he still had over 700 yards last year. And he's very good, you know, in that slot. You can't find anybody better in the slot than what he's been. But you would have kept him away from the Chargers, too. So, it's twofold. You would have had him in there. Because, to me, it was in case of emergency, break glass guy. Which could have been affordable on a 1-year contract or something. You bring him in. But I was for that, you know, just having a true pros pro, all those Pro Bowls that he's made and all pro, a guy that understands the game of football inside and out, you're not asking him to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
No.
You're asking him to come in and be the dude for a couple games that Rashee Rice is out. But regardless, that's not going to happen. Yeah, but I think it would help Jalen Royals having that first 4 games in the bank.
Definitely could.
Before
You were the first person I thought of suspended. Whenever I saw Keenan Allen sign with the Chargers. I said, Pink is not going to be happy. Pink is not going to be happy.
I don't want him. I mean, make no mistake about it. I would have taken Keenan in a second.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And by the way, Isaiah Bond's been cleared of his charges.
He was going
to be a second-round pick. He was a 4.39 guy at the Combine. Yeah, he signed with the Browns today as well. So he probably wouldn't have been ready for the beginning of the season either. But again, four games into it, it's a big deal. Big difference. Practicing with the team that long, kind of learning the ways, kind of learning the offense, big difference. But this could end up working out. You get off that fast start. Not having him in the beginning against, you know, going and playing in Brazil and turn around and playing the Eagles the next week can make a difference, man. You don't want to bury yourself early in the season.
It's just, if I knew for certain he was only going to be suspended four games, like the situation Nate Taylor laid out, then yeah, I would take that deal. But if he's going to get suspended for more than four games, I would rather have him against Buffalo than against these other teams earlier in the season. And I know we've lost to Buffalo in the regular season and been completely fine.
Just given the postseason, you beat him.
But I would still, but I would still rather have him for that game. And also, I mean, one thing that we have to think about this, Bink, one thing that came to my mind when I, you know, kind of deciphered all of this, is that he has to be pretty much 100% ready to go if he's fighting to play week one. If he was still dealing with a little bit of an injury, he would be okay with getting suspended early in the season, right? But since, you know, he wants to fight and play early in the season, I think that's a good sign injury-wise.
No, it is. And as far as the NFL, what would they do? I don't think the NFL would appeal it, to be honest with you. If the judge said three games, four games tops, I don't think the NFL plays around because I don't think you want to piss off the Chiefs if you're the NFL. The Chiefs have been your bell cow. You had somebody on a podcast with, 10 million viewers last night that was bringing a lot of people to the table for the NFL, right? The Chiefs had a very successful draft in Kansas City. They like Clark Hunt. They like the Kansas City Chiefs. Make no mistake about it. The Chiefs make the league money, and a lot of money. Because how do they make a lot of their money? Television partners. Who did YouTube want? They went the Kansas City Chiefs.
Who did Netflix want on Christmas?
The Kansas City Chiefs. Who did Peacock win? Oh, Kansas City Chiefs playoff game, right?
Absolutely.
Streaming. So who's on the first ever Amazon Prime game? Kansas City Chiefs. Again, the Chiefs are ratings. Yeah. 2023, top 100 programs in this country. 92 of them were professional sports. 15 of those were Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs will put them against Dallas Cowboys. We'll break every single television record for the regular season. When the Chiefs play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day, right? The Chiefs make them money. Should they get extra benefits from it? Yeah, they should. If people are making a bunch of money, sometimes you got to look the other way, right?
Hey, if Robert Kraft got to get off scot-free with his thing, then sometimes they just look the other way when you're successful.
I just know the Chiefs bankroll the NFL. They do.
Of course. And the Taylor Swift thing only adds more to it.
Travis Kelce and his girlfriend, I mean, that, you know, despite what people think and get mad about or whatever, that brought in a lot of money.
These other fan bases that get mad at Taylor Swift being shown should actually be thanking her because the cap number is probably going up and letting them keep.
What is? So it's supposed to be $270 million this year. The cap is $279 million.
They're getting to keep more of their favorite players because of Taylor Swift. So maybe they should calm down a little bit.
Well, regardless, but the NFL, they kind of owe the Chiefs a solid. They do. I mean, there's no other way to look at it than they bankroll when Netflix and YouTube and Peacock and Amazon, it enhances them. It enhances their money. It puts cash in their pocket, and it puts cash in 32 teams in the NFL with these television contracts that these people bring in.
Well, what was it?
And they have one request, and that request is Kansas City Chiefs.
What was that quote Goodell had a couple weeks ago when they were talking about the NBA on Christmas Day versus the NFL on Christmas Day? Goodell said, we don't compete with the NBA. We compete with Amazon and Google.
They don't compete with anybody.
Such a big brand. And part of the reason they're that big of a brand is because of Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs.
That's right. That's why the Chiefs are on ESPN nationally tonight is because of the numbers they bring in. Love them or hate them, you're still watching them.
Absolutely.
You're still watching them L.A. You're still watching them Minneapolis. Still watching them Indianapolis. Still watching them Denver. Love them or hate them, you're still watching.
You're gonna watch.
You're still watching them because Mahomes is in your head. And tonight, America will see the Chiefs all the time. And again, not being selfish here, living in Kansas City, I'm just being honest. The Chiefs bankroll the NFL. So just saying, I don't think they'd appeal. It's what I'm saying. Whatever they get, I think they decide. Anyway, coming up next, and you guys have been flooding the text line. I love it. 913-586-7965, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. 913-586-7965, the phone number. When did you become a Chiefs fan? You know, it was the days of Bill Kenny. Maybe he's back from Lynn Dawson. Maybe it was Super Bowl I against the Packers you became a Chiefs fan. Maybe you lived by training camp. Maybe you knew some of the ex-Chiefs. Maybe you know Bobby Bell. Maybe you knew anybody. Who and what brought you to the Kansas City Chiefs? When did you start being a fan? I'm curious. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. Probably carry this to the end of the hour. We'll still take a break in between, but when you became a Chiefs fan? Because I'm curious.
It's been Kansas a hot topic City, in the text line.
Why? When did you become it? I mean, I've gone round and round. It's football town, man. It is now. It's been baseball town before. And yeah, I kind of was there in 14 and 15. I get it. But it's a football town, man. And I think K-State and KU football and Missouri football, when they're good, all that helps out. But it is. Why do you like the Kansas City Chiefs? Did you follow them extensively when they weren't winning in the postseason? I would say yes, because Arrowhead became Arrowhead. And when Marty got here and Carl got here and they made the 90s, and Chiefs were a very winning team, one of the winningest teams in pro football, but they didn't have Super Bowl appearances to go with it. But it became big, and tailgating was huge. And, you know, maybe it's the tailgates you've been to, and you said, you know what, don't want a lake house, don't want to do anything else, I want to go to Arrowhead. I want to, you know, pay for season tickets, make that my fun on weekends, 8 weekends, or even 9 weekends every year or whatever. At Arrowhead Stadium, and have that be my solace, have that be my place to be. Maybe it's going to training camp. I know when I was in high school, we went to Jewel all the time because the Chiefs were down at William Jewel for practice. It was great. You go to practice, and then you go down and watch the Chiefs, and that was fun. You watched your position with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that was fun. Really accessible for players back then. They go to that Maybe Center there at William Jewel and walk around. It was much different, you know, back in those days as far as access and everything else. It was nice. And I remember going with my father up to River Falls when they were up there, and we'd have a lot of fun. We'd usually go up there when there's a joint practice, because now the Chiefs, two teams in the NFL that don't have joint practices, it's the Chiefs and the Raiders. All the rest of them do joint practices, except for the Ravens just canceled their next one with the Commanders. I think they were going to do one because of games next week. It didn't fit in their schedules. But regardless, but the River Falls were dead. Had a great time, you know, seeing Randy Moss go, you know, against the defensive backs of the Chiefs back and forth, and it was fun. But when did you become, maybe Super Bowl I, maybe the parade? I remember Mayor Mike Garrett was the guy that ran the 65 toss power trap. He was on the football and barbecue podcast I used to do, and we talked about it. He was the USC, he was the AD that hired Pete Carroll when he was there. Interesting guy. He won a Heisman Trophy, too. He's given it out several times. He's always up on stage, but he was the Chief. He's also the first guy in the NFL history to rush for 1,000 yards with two different teams. He did it with the Chiefs, and he did it with the Chargers, but he ran the 65 toss power trap, and he met his wife at the Super Bowl parade after they beat the Vikings. So, you know, that's history right there with a guy named Mike Garrett. But when did you become a fan? I wasn't obviously alive for the first couple Super Bowls for the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was in that big middle ground where there wasn't success. I mean, I guess growing up here, always been one, to be honest with you. You know, grew up that way. Pictures when I was a kid, you know, out there in the 70s, still wearing Chiefs crap. You know, I'm surprised they had it for kids back then, but they did evidently because they had pictures with it. So I guess I've always been one. Maybe it's because of where I live. So there's not like that one memory for me of why I became one, because I've always been one. I do remember specifically that 94 AFC title game and how much fun that was. Like people in this town, because, you know, the Chiefs were finally in the AFC title game with Joe Montana, and it was fun, and, you know, the city was alive, and the Buck Buffalo shirts. I had to be careful with that one.
Yeah.
But they had those shirts of why to do it. But so I'm just curious with the text line. Thanks on that. And if you come here, here's one from the 816. I know at least since 1967, when I was about 7 and a half, I don't remember football then or not. 43 years old, they say. Been a fan since the late 80s, early 90s. Watched every game with my dad as a kid. DeBerg was their first fan. Here's another one from the 816. My first favorite players are Willie Lanier and Otis Taylor. So that's always good. Here's one from the 310. I lived in Plano, Texas, late 80s, early to mid-90s, and met several of the Super Bowl Cowboys. Stopped liking the Cowboys because of Jerry Jones and adopted the Chiefs when I lived in Omaha. Parents moved to KC while I lived in L.A. and finally moved to KC in 2014 and been a season ticket holder ever since. That's great.
My grandparents actually met at the very first Super Bowl bank. It was Packers and Chiefs. My grandpa was from Green Bay. My grandma's from around here in Kansas City. But that was the first time they ever met, the very first Super Bowl.
How
Chiefs
about that?
Packers. And I it's been integrated into my life now. I love the Chiefs, but I'm also got a lot of ties up to Green Bay. Big Packer guy too.
Well, there's probably a lot of kids that have been born because of Chiefs Super Bowl wins. Let's be honest. You know, the three they have won with Mahomes. Imagine the amount of kids that were probably conceived that night. Or maybe after 13-second Buffalo Bills come back. I mean, I'm just saying there's probably a lot of kids in this town that were born because of the Kansas City Chiefs.
And around Valentine's Day, too. So you could say Valentine's Day kids / Chiefs Super Bowl kids. You'll never know the difference.
The Chiefs translate to love, man. Right. They just do. Let's go to the phone lines. 913-586-7965. Let's talk to Sherry in Shawnee. All right, Sherry. When'd you become a fan?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, I've been a Chiefs fan since the first Super Bowl.
Since the very first one against the Packers, the one they lost, the very first one.
Yeah.
Well, and why did you become a fan?
I don't know. It was just exciting.
It was just exciting. Well, I mean, that's the
Lynn
way it is.
Lynn Dawson, Bobby Bell.
Oh, man, legendary Chiefs.
Oh,
what, like 11 Taylor in the Hall of Fame from that crew? A lot of fun, man. That was the NFL World Championship back then, man.
And what was funny, when we were transferred down to St. Louis, I remained a Chiefs and Royals fan. My grandmother had to send me the articles from the Kansas City Star because I couldn't get any information in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Imagine that. Imagine that. So, yeah, I hear you, man. And, you know, St. Louis, you know, since they've lost two teams, you know, a lot of them do like the Chiefs over there. You know, when you go around the state and stuff, all the Cardinal fans that are everywhere, and the Chiefs, you know, won a lot of people over, or the Royals did, of course, when they won in 2015, but a lot of Cardinal fans all around. But there's Chiefs fans everywhere you go. There just is. And the second biggest season ticket base besides the Kansas City metro area, and I'm including like Overland Park and stuff like that, is St. Louis. Like, outside of Kansas City, that's the largest season ticket holder base because they had to adopt something, so they
lost their team. I mean, they lost the Rams.
They lost two.
Well, they lost.
Lost two. They've lost two.
Been rough.
They've lost two. But, yeah, I mean, whether it's the first game back in 1967, Green Bay and Kansas City, maybe it was Super Bowl IV, Tulane Stadium in New Orleans, where Kansas City beat the Minnesota Vikings, maybe that's when you became a fan. Again, was it through the 80s or 90s? I have coasters for beer that are made of the old turf that they had at Arrowhead Stadium. That's old school stuff. But 913-586-7965. Keep sending the text messages on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Bring more of those up next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
From the 913, Jackson, I don't remember when I became a Chiefs fan because I was raised thinking there was no other choice. KC for life on this one. From the 913, my dad had season tickets since 89. I basically grew up in Arrowhead. I've never missed a Mahomes home postseason game. That's the way it happens, too, a lot of generational. Okay, you want to buy dad's tickets? You know, when people buy the season tickets, keep them in the family, enroll on. Before I got the media, I had, before I started doing this, I've had season tickets, you know, in high school, I used to date a gal whose dad knew one of the players and he would have them. So I called it my fall romance. So it'd be my, hey baby, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? You want to go to the game? You want some nachos? You know, can I still keep going to games with you? But I had them and my daughter was born during a Chiefs game. And I'll never forget that game. And, you know, I mean, don't think bad of me here, but, you know, wasn't scheduled for a couple weeks. You know, I asked permission. I said, hey, mind if I go to the Chiefs game, you know? And so I went to Arrowhead and get a call about 10:30 that, oh, no, got to go to the hospital and have the baby. I was like, oh, so I made it. And I passed out. And when I came to, I was in the, where they weigh the baby, you know, in a room there. And they had the Chiefs game on, nurses did. And there goes Bo Ricker, 99 yards against the Chargers. The franchise record. So I saw that right there when I came to. But I was already a fan before that, so it doesn't really count at that part.
The first game I ever went to, Bink, 2011, I had to look this up on my phone. November 6, 2011, I went with my dad. Dolphins, Chiefs. Matt Moore started the game for the Dolphins, who eventually ended up on the Chiefs.
Yes, right.
The Dolphins entered the game 0-7 and beat the Chiefs 31-3. That was my first ever experience at Arrowhead. But
first,
you know,
ever experience.
It could only go up from there.
From the 913, December 17th, very specific, December 17th, 1989, they say, a cold day. My dad took my brother and I to our first game. We didn't stay for the whole game because we were too cold, but we were fans. You know, maybe your first experience was that that Dolphins playoff game. Remember that one? It was minus 31 a couple years ago.
That was cold. That was cold.
Because you might have gotten tickets for that because someone might have had them. Like, you know, I'm not going to go out this game. We take these games. I mean, it's kind of like preseason football where you look in the cul-de-sac and say, hey, you want to go to the game. And by the way, this rule should apply. And I don't know if you've been part of this rule or not. When someone comes, hey, you want Chiefs tickets, that usually means, do you want them? I'm giving them to you. Not, and you've probably seen this before too. Would you like two tickets? That'll be, you know, it's safety, and that'll be 160 or something. I'll say, wait a minute. What are you doing? No, if you say, do you want my tickets? You say you want my tickets, and you just give them to them, right? You don't sit there and say, well, it's 160. You know, if they want to buy you a beer, take you to dinner or something like that, or, you know, throw you some bones, whatever. But if you say, hey, you want my tickets, you give them the tickets. You don't sit there and, you know, charge from it. Well, at least I wouldn't do that.
Right. It's like if somebody asks you, hey, do you want to go to the game with me? I've got an extra ticket. You don't expect, like, at the end of the game from them, be like, okay, you need to Venmo me $200 for that. You're like, well, you asked me to go to the game. You said you had an extra ticket, you know? So, again, like you said, buy a beer, buy a mistake, something. But I agree with you there, Bink. That I don't like when it's done like that.
Here's 913. I grew up a Bears fan from 85 when I lived in Illinois because of the Super Bowl Shuffle. I became a Chiefs fan in 94 when I moved to Western Kentucky because they were on CBS every week. So television, they were on there. And there's probably a lot of fans now because the Chiefs are on, again, five of the first eight games are primetime games for the Chiefs standalone, which it's never happened before in the NFL. But there's Mahomes jerseys all across the country. You know, people are, you know, Mahomes fans or, you know, kids, man, they like winning. And when teams win, you know, they like to buy the cool shoes of Mahomes or the Oakleys. Or whatever. They're not buying State Farm yet, I don't think. But speaking of that, I just saw on Twitter the other day. Remember Jake Fromm? He was a quarterback at Georgia.
Yeah, he's doing real estate, right?
They couldn't do it. He's worked for an insurance company.
Oh, insurance. That's what it is.
And someone said State Farm dropped the ball on this.
They really did.
Because here's the thing. I always make a joke. Like, you know, they're on the roster now, and they're probably going to get cut, and they're going to sell insurance in like 2 years, right? These guys. But they made a mistake. I was like, wait, how'd they make a mistake? And I thought about it. Jake from State Farm. It could have been a real Jake from State Farm.
They really dropped the ball on that one. And it would have been a notable Jake. It would have been a guy who
former quarterback.
Played in, I believe he made, did they make a natty with him? Or at least they got close. They were in some SEC championship games with Jake.
He was a very good quarterback.
He was. I mean, there was talk.
We could have had a real life Jake from State Farm.
We really could have. State Farm, I bet they're kicking themselves right now.
What are you wearing? Khakis? Who are you talking to?
We already lost the original Jake from State Farm. We have no idea where he went. You remember the original back in the day.
Yeah, because the Jake from State Farm now is not the original Jake.
I know. What happened to the original?
That guy's made a living out of it, too, because he's been on commercial with Derrick Henry. He's been on Mahomes.
Caitlin Clark. I mean, he's everywhere.
Yeah, he's been on this station.
Really?
Yeah, it was St. Patrick's Day a couple years ago. It was Mahomes. We had T-shirts. It was to honor St. Patrick Mahomes because we had the Chiefs rights at the point, and we had a beer drink off.
Uh-huh.
But it was not like where it was where I challenged everybody from this station to chug beer.
Sounds easy enough.
Well, and they had a limit on me because, you know, lawyers get involved and stuff.
Sure.
I had a 3-person limit per night.
Okay.
Because who knows how much I would go, but three's fine. I chug 3 beers. I used, like during COVID, I got really good at chugging beer. Like very, very good. Like that's the one skill I got. Like I can't cook. I tried watching YouTube and all this because I can't cook. But chugging beer is something I could do. And there wasn't a hell of a lot else to do, to be honest with you. There's no sports. So chug beer. 100% what you do. But come on, we'll get back to this later. 913-586-7965. When did you become a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs? The reason I say this, because in about an hour on ESPN from coast to coast is Chiefs Kingdom. We've heard about the billboards in Buffalo, how many miles to Chiefs Kingdom. Somebody's going to start crying. They're going to be mad. The Chiefs are going to be spotlighted. And this is great. This is better than Hard Knocks. This is better than all this. This is your Chiefs spotlighted on national TV across the country. Enjoy it, Chiefs fans. You get 2 hours, 2 different episodes tonight. Binge it all if you want to. Do whatever you want to. But it is an awesome series. But come up next, more Chiefs hot takes to piss you off. I love doing this. Next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.